Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. On this second Sunday of Advent, we heed both John the Baptist and Jesus the Christ. It is Advent. We make a straight way for Jesus to come in. We lift up the valleys and we make level the rough and uneven ground. We make a road preparation for Christ to enter into our hearts. Isaiah, writing in 700 B.C., saying, "Comfort, comfort ye my people," foretells the coming of the great forerunner of Christ, John the Baptist, and the Christ himself. John appeared in fulfillment of these prophecies, preparing the way for the Lord, pointing people to Jesus, the Lamb of God. And so today we talk about John the Baptist and Jesus the Christ, and how the law and the gospel impacts our lives. Let me begin by saying that if John the Baptist walked into the sanctuary, it would cause quite the stir. He would have a camel's hair garment, probably wild hair and a staff in his hand, and he'd come in saying, "Prepare the way for the Lord," and everything would stop, and we would listen to what this prophet was saying. Some of you may remember back in the 70s, I'm dating myself now, the musical Godspell. And when that musical began, the way they got this clear to you is you were sitting in an auditorium, and before it began, all of a sudden from the back of an auditorium, a kind of wildly dressed young man came walking in singing, "Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Prepare ye the way of the Lord." And then everyone started singing. Now, it got your attention, didn't it? Well, it got even your attention even more when you were there, because he was walking down the aisle dressed like John the Baptist, and you thought, we better listen to what he's saying. We are here to listen to what John the Baptist says. Isaiah says, "The Lord your God will come. His hand will come, the glory of the Lord. The mouth of the Lord will speak. His breath and his word, his arm, his reward, his flock in his arms. He comes as a shepherd, and all flesh shall see it together. Our iniquities," as we just sang in the beautiful hymn, "Comfort, comfort ye my people," will be pardoned. We have good news because the shepherd gently leads those who are young. But this shepherd who is coming, the road must be prepared for him. And that is what John does in Advent. The road into your heart. In John and Jesus, we have proper preparation for Christmas, which is Christ's first coming, and for the last day, which is Christ's second coming. Let's briefly consider first John the Baptist, how he prepares the way of the Lord. Second, Jesus the Christ comes as the powerful Lord. And third, how does the law and gospel proclaim to us, to our hearts, the message from the Lord? John the Baptist prepares the way of the Lord. As I just said, Isaiah proclaimed the coming of the voice, John, who would come before the Lord to prepare the way before him. Consider the person of John. He was the son of a priest. His father's name was Zechariah, and his mother was Elizabeth, who conceived in her old age, as the angel Gabriel had told them. John was of the line of a priest. He could have served as a priest at the temple like his father did. Yet he came to be much more than a priest. He became the voice and the messenger, the angel of God. And Jesus said, "No one among men is greater than John." So we ought to pay attention to this man who prepared the way of the Lord, who was simply a voice of one crying, "Make straight paths for the Lord." John the Baptist cared not for what man thought of him, ever. He only proclaimed faithfully the word of God, fearlessly. Remember, even to King Herod, when he condemned him for taking his brother's wife and was thrown into prison. He was fearless because he was the voice of God, the mouthpiece to prepare the way for the Lord. That's the person of John. The preaching of John was proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. People would come out to the Jordan River, confess their sins, and be baptized for the forgiveness of their sins. Everyone recognized John was a prophet. Now, if you understand the geography of Palestine, you will know that Jerusalem is quite a ways from the Jordan River, and it's up higher. You have to literally come down from Jerusalem all the way down to the Jordan River, walk most of the day to get there, and there you would find John baptizing by the river. You had to leave your house, your family, your occupation, your daily food, and in an act of contrition, if you will, come out to wilderness so that you could see the wilderness of your own spiritual life and your need for repentance. The whole way you're walking and realizing you're leaving that behind to come to the river for repentance and forgiveness. The person of John, the preaching of John, and lo and behold, look at the clothing and food of John. Camel's hair garment with a leather belt around his waist, dressed in complete simplicity. We know for sure that John the Baptist never shopped at Dillard's. And he's eating locusts and wild honey to the basic foods. We also know he never ate in an Olive Garden. But this John the Baptist was the bridge between the Old Testament and the New Testament. It is rightly said that he's the last prophet of the Old Testament and the first of the New Testament. He is the bridge between the two. And he calls us to despise frivolous pursuits. Purge your life. Decontaminate your soul. Sweep out the trash. Scour away at your heart. Cast out the darkness. And be cleaned by Christ. He does not mince words. And when it comes to repentance, there's no mincing of words. If you've broken one of the commandments, you can't condone it. You can't excuse it. You must confess it. If you have blasphemed and if you have cursed, you say, I have sinned. Be merciful to me. If you have committed adultery, you don't explain it away. You say, I have sinned against God and my spouse. Be merciful to me. And so it goes through all of the commandments. Repentance is clear. It strikes to your heart. And you can't back away from the law of God, just like you can't back away from John the Baptist, the messenger who prepared the way of the Lord. That is why we always begin the divine service first, after the Trinitarian invocation, which reminds you that you are a baptized Christian, with confessing our sins of thought, word, and deed, and then hearing the beautiful words of absolution spoken through the voice of the pastor who says, in the stead of Christ, I forgive you your sins. That's John the Baptist who prepares the way of the Lord. And you hear a lot about him during Advent. But he is preparing us for the festival of Christmas. Jesus the Christ, who comes as the powerful Lord. John Mark, who wrote the Gospel of Mark, says the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Mark does not include, like Matthew and Luke, the birth narratives of Christ in Bethlehem. He knows by then that people know those stories. The Gospel of Mark begins, boom, with Jesus as a man, there at the water, 30 years old, being baptized and beginning his ministry. Now the beginning of the Gospel has come. In the person of Jesus. He is called Jesus the Christ. Now, most of you know this, but remember, the name Christ is not a name. Christ is an office, like President, Congressman, Senator Christ. Christ is Greek, Hebrew is Messiah. In English, we say anointed one. Samuel anointed David with oil. The Holy Spirit anointed Jesus at his baptism, and the Father's voice said, listen to this, my son. He is the Son of God in eternity. Jesus has always been the Son of God forever and ever, and then was begotten in the womb of the Virgin Mary and was made flesh and became the Son of Mary, true man. When the gospel begins with Jesus standing there as John the Baptist is about to baptize Jesus, what you see is this. In the person of Christ, the second Adam is now on earth. The first Adam in the Garden of Eden brought us sin, death, and condemnation. Now the second Adam is coming to bring us life and salvation, and the second Adam, Jesus, has come in our place to undo the curse the first Adam brought. That's the person of Jesus, the power of Jesus, John refers to. Since Jesus was the eternal Son of God in eternity, through whom the Father created everything by the Word, Jesus, and brought forth creation, John says, He comes after me, but He was before me. John, according to their earthly birth, was about 6 months older than Jesus. Jesus born of Mary, John born of Elizabeth. But though Jesus was born here on earth about 6 months after John, He was before John because He has always been the eternal Son of God in eternity. He is much more mighty than John. John quivers in His presence. John says, I'm not even worthy to untie His sandals. The baptism of Jesus, which will happen after this text, when the Holy Spirit comes down upon Him like a dove, that Jesus baptizes us with the Holy Spirit, which was fulfilled at Pentecost when the Spirit came down with tongues of fire. And now that the gospel goes to all the nations, we are baptized in water and word in the triune name of God. And now into all the world, the baptism of Jesus, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, has come to us, in whom we have been baptized. You know, the clothing of John and the clothing Christ gives us is a great picture of the difference between the law and the gospel. The rough clothing, the camel's hair that John wore, which was irritating to your skin, is indeed a picture of the law. The law irritates you. You don't want to hear about the wrong things you've done. You don't want to be reminded. It hurts. It irritates. That's what the purpose of the law is. But the gospel comforts us. You receive a wedding clothing, the wedding clothing of a garment of the Lamb of God without blemish. That's a beautiful garment to wear that comforts us. A beautiful picture of the gospel that when the Lamb died and was raised, and in our baptism clothes us in the wedding garment of His righteousness, there, comfort, comfort ye, my people. So that's John the Baptist and Jesus the Christ. But this would have no effect whatsoever upon you unless it had entered into your life. And that's how we conclude. How is the law and the gospel proclaimed to you as a message from the Lord? St. Peter in the epistle describes what our life as Christians is to be like. We are beloved people, he says. We walk in holiness, in godliness, and we are diligent to be found without spot and blemish, at peace with God, with ourselves, and with one another. How does this happen in our lives? Confession of sins. We've done it publicly here with contrite hearts at the beginning of the service, and you can also do it privately with your pastor, one-on-one, in complete confidentiality. Repentance. Turning and admitting your sin. It's kind of like a snake. It sheds the skin and leaves the skin behind. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. The regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit in your baptism. Remembering it every day. Even when you wash your face, remember your baptism. The forgiveness of sins. The remission and washing away of sins. If all your sins were written on a chalkboard, God has erased them all in the gospel of the Son of God, in whom righteousness dwells. For John the Baptist points to Jesus and says, that's the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Our righteousness comes in personal form. Christ is the Lamb. Christ is the Shepherd. Christ is the High Priest. Christ is our righteousness. This means that God counts the righteousness of Christ to our account. His death is our death. His burial and resurrection is our burial and resurrection. And God declares us in His courtroom innocent because of the blood of Christ that covers us. This is the gospel of the Son of God. Righteousness dwells in Him, and that righteousness becomes our righteousness through faith in His name. And Peter reminds us, we are doing this in view of the last day of the Lord. Remember, Advent is looking forward to the celebration of the first Advent and coming at Christmas. But you look beyond that manger, and you're looking in the future at the Son of God coming in glory upon the clouds on the second last Advent of the Lord. That's what Peter talks about when he says, we got to be patient. He hasn't come yet. He will come like a thief in the night. The unbelieving world laughs at this. And what is so ironic is this. Yes, the Lord hasn't returned yet, and the unbelieving world laughs. Ha, ha, ha. Where is this Jesus? We don't see Jesus. He's coming again in glory. You Christians are fools. Not realizing the very reason why the Lord hasn't come yet is so that person who just said that could have opportunity to repent. It's good for even the unbelievers that He has been patient in His coming, because they still have time to repent until it's too late when He comes like a thief in the night. That last day is called Judgment Day, Resurrection Day, the last day. The heavens will pass away with a roar. The heavenly bodies in the earth will be burned up and dissolved by fire, melted and burned. And then God's promise, the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. If you think about that, and if you really believe it, it should change how you live your life. Don't store up treasures in this earth, because it's all going to be burned up. Store up treasures for the new heavens and the new earth, where it will remain forever. Every investment of our life, in our vocations and calling, in the work here in our congregation, brings forth treasures that remain forever in faith and hope and love. Live your lives in view of this last day. Listen to the message of John. Let Advent be a season for you of a realignment of your heart. You're the only one that can do this. Even your spouse can't do this for you. Let the Word of God realign your life so you are not shaped by the world's gods, but by the Word of God. It's time to discipline yourself. Exercise spiritual self-control. The road preparations for Christ to come into your heart. The true preparation for Christmas isn't just the lights and the music and the trees and the presents and the parties. True preparation is heeding the word of John the Baptist and preparing your heart for the way of the Lord, so that at Christmas and at all times, the Lord may come in, the Lord Jesus Christ, the powerful King, who will come again in glory. This day, let us heed the words of John the Baptist during Advent as we joyfully look forward to the Christmas feast. Let us listen to the voice who cries in the wilderness of our lives, repent, have faith in Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Prepare the way for the Lord to come into your heart. God grant this for Jesus' sake. Amen. May the peace that surpasses our human understanding guide our hearts and our minds in faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.